Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name again is Jeffrey Davis. I am host of Radio Entrepreneurs and also chairman of the board, CEO of Mage LLC, management consulting firm. Radio Entrepreneurs streaming more stories than ever to the marketplace during this changing economy trying to talk about how people are going back to work, are working, and providing value to their clients. You know, one of the industries that's really going through a big transition is the whole legal profession, which we're all affected by. If we're in business, if we're attorneys or not attorneys. And so we like to talk weekly with Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlow, Breedhart & Rogers. Welcome back, Mark.
Hi, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Same, and you're looking well?
Thank you. Well, I've been working from home since March 16th. So, you know, the courts have been closed, although they're just starting to reopen now. I mean, they have been open for emergencies and on a limited basis, but it's certainly been different. And now that things hopefully are beginning the process of normalizing, hoping there won't be any setbacks and that will continue to make progress towards the new normal, whatever that might be.
Well, there's the old normal. The phone's ringing.
That's the old normal. So, sorry about that.
You know, Mark, you've always been someone who was sort of like a creature of not change. You always carried a black book longer than anyone I know. So I'm interested in how this is going to affect entrepreneurs, the opening of courts, but also how it's affecting the practice of law. Because that's just changing dramatically, and it's always been a conservative profession.
Well, first, from the client perspective, you know, with the courts closed, you know, thousands of pending cases were effectively stayed and just stopped in their tracks. What happened in Massachusetts is the courts entered various orders that kept extending deadlines. So let's say you had something due April 1st. Well, first it became due May 1st and then June 1st and July 1st. And so, you know, the pace of cases proceeding through the system has certainly slowed down. The exception being, if courts view something as a real emergency, then there have been hearings remote, and court's definition of emergencies aren't always the same as clients' definitions of emergencies. And then, you know, if you have a case that's going to end up in a jury trial, the courts are not physically constructed for jurors to be socially distant. So that's going to require, I think, you know, structural changes. And I'd be surprised if there were jury trials this year. So those cases are slowing down. On the other hand, it creates a wonderful opportunity to try to settle cases if, you know, mediation is, I'm a great believer in, so long as you have both parties who are seriously interested, and there are a lot of virtual mediations happening, and the Zoom technology makes it just about as good, and in one case, one respect, better than in-person mediations, because you have the ability to have group meetings with Zoom, and then you can have breakout sessions as you would in a regular mediation, where each side can meet separately with the mediator and talk privately among themselves. And I think the biggest advantage of it, well, there's many, but it saves time, and therefore it saves money. And finally, no party can use the excuse that the ultimate decision maker is in San Francisco, Chicago, Texas, New York, and therefore can't be physically present. Anybody can be physically present. So mediators are insisting, at least the good ones, on having the decision maker participate in the mediation through the Zoom technology. So we are settling cases, and we continue to try to negotiate disputes that can be resolved without litigation. So from the practice perspective, you know, everything is remote. We've all the folks I work with are home. We have Zoom meetings. We can deal with most things electronically, which makes it easier, frankly, to be able to electronically, any place we can electronically file. And I did have recently a large project with four lawyers and my assistant working on the project, and we were able to do it seamlessly, and I think more efficiently than we would have if we were all together in the office. It was, instead of walking around looking for people, we just would schedule the times to speak. People were accessible. And the work product, which ended up being probably a foot high in terms of paper, could be collected, and just my assistant did a fabulous job in getting that all that information in the order it needed to be, so it could be served, and then it gets served by pressing send, which was so it was great. And I think ultimately, I think it was more efficient.
Well, I know that this is going to force things to change. You know, I'm thinking right now about, unfortunately, a group of business owners I've known in the past who always had used the litigation club as a basis for getting their way with many people, the well-heeled entrepreneur. Have they lost that stick during this time? Because that has been a go-to strategy for a lot of people I've known in the past, and not one that I've endorsed, but is, you know, in during these times, you know, I think it may not be the most effective way for them, and that has been their tool.
Well, it's not equal. How it's impacted people, but a lot of well-heeled people are financially hurting, depending on their business. So, however, when there are business disputes, people come to them in different economic circumstances. And if you're the defendant, and you want to drag the process out, you can make full use of the available procedures in litigation to do that. And if you're the plaintiff desperately in need of funds that you feel like you're owed, this is going to make it harder for you to get a quick resolution where the defendant doesn't want a quick resolution. So I think deep pocket advantage continues to exist, but some deep pockets, particularly those who are highly leveraged and in the wrong businesses for this, who've been most challenged at this time, are, you know, definitely it's different than it was before. So, you know, if you're a minority shareholder, as you know, I do a lot of disputes between co-owners. If you're a minority shareholder, if you've been terminated from your employment, by the majority, you know, you're in the position where frequently your source of income has been cut off. So you have a claim. You may win, you may lose. It's probably not going to get as resolved, get resolved as quickly as it would have if we're a couple of years ago. Even then, it wasn't at the speed of lightning to get things resolved. So I just think there are the playing field is not level for every litigant. Just as the world isn't a level playing field for everybody.
That is very true. And I can think of other examples. We've been speaking with Mark Furman, shareholder member at the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. Mark, if there are minority shareholders, people doing business with business and are looking for wise counsel during these changing times, how would they find you at Tarlow Breed?
I can be reached at M. Furman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com, or at 617-218-2025.
Well, thank you very much, Mark, and we look forward to your more stories about law, the legal profession, and entrepreneurs throughout this summer of change. Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs.